You are listening to JG Sports Talk with your host, Jinx Grand.
And welcome to the latest edition of the JG Sports Talk podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Jinx Grand. And with the NHL season around the corner, it is my pleasure to welcome onto the show Dan Rosen of NHL.com. Dan, as always, I appreciate you giving me a couple of minutes today.
Absolutely, no problem.
Now, first off, let's start with the divisions. As obviously, we've got a whole new shuffle. Four divisions now. We'll start with the Atlantic in the Eastern Conference. And obviously, I mean, the first team that pops out at you up there is Boston. I think I'm going to go with them as far as the Atlantic Division is concerned. How do you think the Atlantic Division will go when it is all said and done?
I think the Atlantic Division is pretty strong at the top. Boston, Detroit, Ottawa. And, you know, you get to Toronto, I think they got a lot stronger because they were able to get Cody Franson signed. And even Montreal, who I'm not as high on, I still think their first five teams, it's very strong. And I don't know what to make yet of the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't expect much from the Florida Panthers. I'm forgetting one more right now off the top of my head. But, you know, it's really, you know, their top, the Buffalo Sabres are another team, I'm sorry, that I don't expect a lot from. They're in more of a rebuilding. But I think the five teams there, it's going to be a pretty good hunt for the playoffs. I think the top three teams are going to be Boston, Detroit, and Ottawa. And then you may get five out of that division. The Metropolitan's pretty strong, too. But I think if you want to just go basically what, you know, by chalk 4-4 in each division, I think you're going to see Toronto and Montreal duking it out for that last spot, and I would give Toronto the edge right now.
Now, how about Tampa Bay? I mean, you look at this team, obviously, with Steven Stamkos, they've still got questions elsewhere. Have they changed your opinion at all from last year?
Not really. I got to see a lot. I got to see John Cooper coaching for a full year. I want to see what Valtteri Filppula can bring this team. I want to see what Jonathan Drouin's all about. Jonathan Drouin was the number three pick. They had a chance to pick Seth Jones, but now Jonathan Drouin's there, and he might get that shot with Stamkos and St. Louis. You want to see what he's all about. Could be a Calder Trophy candidate. I still think, that's why I said, I still think the Lightning are a little bit up in the air in my estimation. Their defense, their goaltending, I need to see a lot more.
Interesting. We're talking with Dan Rosen. All right, so let's move along to the Metropolitan Division right now. I'm a Devils fan. Obviously, I want you to give me your opinion on the New Jersey Devils' chances. But this is a very competitive division, is it not?
It's a very competitive division, and for that reason, I don't like the Devils' chances very much. I think they're going to be better than some people think they're going to be right now. I think there's this feeling around the league that the Devils are going to really fall off the wagon this year, and I just don't see that happening. Their goaltending, Marty still got it. Corey Schneider's a very good goalie. He has not proven it on a consistent basis to be a number one goalie in the league, but he is a number one goalie in the league, and he'll be 1A there with Marty. I just think they're going to a little bit slow. I like the signing of Damian Bruner because I think it does give them the additional speed that they were desperately needing. But with Jágr and Klo and Michael Ryder, it's going to be hard because these aren't exactly fast guys. They're going to be a slower team. They lose Kovalchuk. They lose Clarkson. It's a very hard guys to replace. I'm not enamored with their defense right now. I like their defensive prospects in Merrill and Jelena, but I don't love their NHL defense right now. I think they'll be a little bit better than people think, but I really don't. I think they're going to have a real struggle to make the playoffs because, like you said, it's top to bottom. It's a pretty competitive division with Pittsburgh and Washington. Look, I don't know what to make. And the Rangers, of course, the Islanders are better. The Flyers could and should be better than they were last year, but I'm not 100% sure on that. The Blue Jackets, to me, are a wild card in there. The Hurricanes are a wild card. A lot of up-in-the-air stuff in that division, but, you know, the Devils are one of those teams that's up in the air.
Yeah, I guess that's how it looks like, at least that's what the future looks like for the Devils with the loss of some of their goal scorers this offseason. We're talking with Dan Rosen. And I know Pittsburgh, obviously, I think they're the team that comes out of that division and into the postseason with the strongest chances of making it to the Stanley Cup Finals. But here's the team I wanted to ask you on, just because they haven't been discussed much, and I personally think they've got a very good shot, and that's the New York Islanders. I mean, you look at a team in the Islanders that is a very young group. Obviously, the goaltending position has to be sorted out. Their defense looks okay. What's your take on the Islanders? Do you think we can see a surge from them after a very strong showing last year?
I would say the best way to term the Islanders right now is work in progress. And I say that because they're better than they were 2 years ago, without question. I think we can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chance to be better than they were last year, too. But remember, you know, because last year I think they started to come on, and if it was an 82-game season, we're not 100% sure where they would have finished. They certainly gave Pittsburgh a great run in the playoffs. So I think they're a work in progress because they have a lot of good players. They've got an absolute stud, a superstar in John Tavares, and I like Travis Hamonic a lot. But they're not very deep. Their lineup is not deep. Their third and fourth lines, I think, leave a little bit to be desired on a consistent basis, and the same with their defense. It leaves a little bit to be desired when you try to look six deep there. And with Nabokov, I think he's solid, but you know, how long are you going to continue to rely on Nabokov to stay healthy, to stay competitive, to stay energetic, to stay consistent? And behind him, it's a pretty big drop-off to Kevin Poulin right now. So the Islanders, to me, are a better team than they were, but they're still a work in progress right now.
And the Rangers, obviously, they just signed Derek Stepan, 2-year deal, finally got that contract worked out. I know this is obviously a big season, a turnaround year, going to be interesting to watch their first couple of regular season games with the new head coach. What have you seen from the New York Rangers as you have covered them this training camp?
Well, I haven't seen much. I covered them early in camp, and then they went on the road, and they've been on the road for a while. I think now you're going to start to see a little bit more with Derek Stepan back in the mix now. But we're not going to know about the Rangers for at least a month because Ryan Callahan and Carl Hagelin are not going to play at the start of the season. They may not be ready to go until late October or early November. So I think the Rangers are going to have to do a little patchwork for a little while because it's two important guys for them in Callahan and Hagelin. Huge to get Derek Stepan back in the mix before the season starts so he doesn't miss any time, and he'll easily catch up. He's a smart guy, so he'll play catch-up quite easily. It's good that I love their defense. I think their defense is strong. You have to love their goaltending. But I think we need to give the Rangers a little bit of time because, like I said, they're going to be they're not going to be whole for a little while.
Interesting. Let's transition over to the Western Conference, where the defending champs, the Chicago Blackhawks, obviously appear to be the premier team in that Central Division. I guess it would be sort of the opposite compared to the Atlantic Division, where it was really top-heavy in the Atlantic. To me, it looks like the Central is a very deep division where I can see multiple teams come out and make a surge.
Well, I think you know what you're talking about there, absolutely, because you got the Blackhawks, and you got the Blues, and then you got a mix of five teams in there that I couldn't tell you which way they're going to go. The Winnipeg Jets, I think they should expect a lot more of themselves, and I think we all should expect more from the Jets. Their general manager, Kevin Sheveldayoff, he locked everybody up. He made sure to lock up the core of the team. Remember, it's the core of a team that has not made the playoffs. And now they have to make the playoffs. In my estimation, this is the Jets' year where they have to make the playoffs, where some of these moves that Kevin Sheveldayoff made this summer are going to be very questionable moves if they don't get in this season. And I understand that may be a little harsh, but I think that's the truth. And then Colorado, I'm not so sure what to make of them with Patrick Waugh, still a young team, first-year coach. We haven't seen Patrick Waugh on an NHL bench since he was a goalie, and we didn't see him a lot of times on the bench when he was a goalie. Minnesota, again, similar situation. You know, they do have Parise and they have Suter, but they got a lot of young guys in there, and Koivu as well, but they got a lot of young guys and maybe a little bit of questions in net. It's a very top-heavy division, and then there's going to be a mixture of teams in there that I am not sure what to make of right now. Dallas is the same, is in that boat as well. So what do you make of all these teams? They're going to have to play it out. Well, I think we'll know a heck of a lot more within the first 2 months of the season of who's for real and who's not in this division.
And I guess you can make the same claim about the Pacific, right? I mean, you don't really have a clear-cut favorite team there. What are your takes on the Pacific Division? Interesting team in Vancouver with the coaching change. Maybe Edmonton, this is the year for their youngsters?
I think that the Pacific Division is the deepest and best division in the NHL.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
When you look at it, you go L.A., San Jose, Anaheim, Vancouver, Phoenix, Edmonton, and then you get down to Calgary. I think I named all seven right there.
Right.
The six teams, Calgary to me is not going to be They're starting a rebuild there. They're gonna try to pull the old Pittsburgh, Chicago, recently Edmonton move, where, you know, stink for a long time, get high draft picks, get good draft picks, and try to get better that way. So I don't factor them in as much of anything this season. But those other six teams, to me, especially if Edmonton can make that jump, it'll be a little bit hard for them because Nugent Hopkins and Gagne are out for the first month of the season at least. So it'll be a little bit more difficult for them. But if Edmonton can make that jump, and then you factor it in to the three California teams plus Phoenix plus Vancouver, it's a very deep division. I like that division. I think it's going to be one of the most exciting divisions to watch.
Now, I wanted to get into some of these rule changes. Obviously, when you go through the division changes, those were big enough. The NHL now is announcing a couple new rules. Obviously, the jersey tuck rule, one that I saw enforced in a Devils game earlier this year. I saw that with Anton Volchenkov, a defenseman who likes to play with his jersey tucked. A referee went over and tucked it for him. That's one rule. The helmet removal rule that has caused a lot of irony from NHL fans during fights. That's another one. But the big one is the hybrid icing rule, and I saw you had written a column on it today for NHL.com. What is your take on the hybrid icing rule? Do you think it's one of those rules that the NHL is really 50-50 on moving into the season?
Well, the Board of Governors, so the league's owners and the league's general managers have pushed it, so they're on board with it, but the players have to sign off for it, and we won't know until probably Monday, day before the season opens, or whether they've signed off on it or not. They're conducting a player survey right now about it. And the reaction I got from talking to various players, coaches, managers around the league is that there's really no consensus on how people feel about this. So my prediction on hybridizing is that it won't pass this time around, but I think you will eventually see a new type of icing in the NHL, and hybrid may be the way to go, but I think it needs some more tweaks. I shouldn't say that. I think that, you know, they're going to say it needs some more tweaks, more time to be tested and the like. So that's just a total guess. It's a prediction, but I don't think it'll pass. I could be wrong. The safety element is something that the players do like because it does have a way of reducing the chances of those horrible collisions you see on the end wall, on the end boards there. But there's a discretionary element that's added to the officials, to the linemen, that I don't know if they're enamored about. And there's a bit of hesitation among the players there. What's going to be icing? What's going to be automatic? What's going to be allowed? So we'll see how it goes. But I'm leaning more and more after listening to people to that it won't pass for this year.
All right, now we got a couple of interesting suspensions going on right now with the Toronto Maple Leafs, my bad. Phil Kessel suspended for the remainder of the preseason, David Clarkson with a 10-game suspension. What is your take on these suspensions? Obviously, two critical players when push comes to shove for the Maple Leafs.
Well, Clarkson's was an automatic 10-game suspension starting with the regular season. It's an automatic 10-game regular season or playoff suspension depending on when it happens for leaving the bench to join an altercation. He doesn't have a case. Video clearly shows altercation started. He left the bench. He joined the altercation. Automatic 10 games. He's not going to appeal it. It hurts the Maple Leafs. There's no doubt about it because his salary cap hit of $5.25 million has to stay on their books. They can't replace that while he's not there, and they can't use him either. So when they have 14 forwards currently signed right now, currently under NHL one-way deals, really what they have is 13 to start the season because Clarkson can't be there. Phil Kessel, to me, is not that really a big of a deal at all because
right.
Three preseason games, it doesn't do anything to them for when they open up in Montreal on October 1st. He'll be back. He may have played in one or two of these preseason games, who knows, but it gives an opportunity for some other players to state their case to be on the roster or at least to be the first guy called up when they have a call-up situation going. So I don't think that's that big of a deal.
Dan, I appreciate the time. Get back to answering those phones and definitely got to have you on the show again.
You got it. Anytime.
There you have it. That's the busy man himself, Dan Rosen, joining Jinx Grant here on the JG Sports Talk podcast.